I had what I believe now was a really cruel trick played on me this week by a very dear friend of mine. This individual is very close to my heart. This individual and I have had very significant experiences together in life and on mission trips. And thank you so much, Brandon. We should have gotten a lighter podium.
I'm strong.
You're strong. Okay. Well, that's good, because I'm not so strong this morning, because the cruel trick that was played on me this week was somebody asking me to go work out with them. I haven't lifted weights in at least a decade. I mean, like, seriously lifted weights in at least a decade. And this individual says to me, I've got a free guest pass over at Planet Fitness. Well, why don't you come and go with me? Okay. And I thought we were just going to hang out. We're just going to have a good time there in the gym, you know, kick back a little bit, some few waters, and lift some weights and all that, you know. It wasn't like that at all, because the next thing I know, he's on the bench, and he's not just lifting, you know, the way I like to lift. This dude is straight up like, you know, and I'm like, oh, my word. The way I described it to Marley was, I said, and perhaps none of you have this, but I was like, have you ever had a friend that was like into heavy metal music, but you knew him to just be kind of a meek, mild person, but then you went to a concert and you were like, whoa, I never knew this side of you. And all of a sudden, this dude's lifting weights, and I'm like, what? I got myself like wrangled in with Arnold Schwarzenegger here, and now here I am. And so this morning, like, truly, I thank Brandon for moving this thing over here, because, like, I don't know that I can, like, lift my arms higher than this right here. And the pain, like, running through my chest and my triceps is really just sickening right now. I hope Matt Olson's not in here, because he will definitely come and hit me after the service, because he does that. But I was reminded in a very real way today that not only is real change often painful. Tom Geyer, the very road to change is often painful. Physical change requires of us a different physical reality, different physical movements, and the truth is, church, that spiritual change, in the same way spiritual change, our spiritual growth, also requires renewed movement of prayer and submission to the Scripture. We won't see any real physical change without bearing the road to change and the pain that goes with that. And chances are, we won't see any real spiritual change in our lives without also walking down the road of spiritual change and bearing the brunt of what that looks like. And the truth is the power and the purpose of prayer is not so much to ask God to move and act, but to largely ask God to move us. Let me repeat that one time. The power and the purpose of prayer is not so much to ask God to move and act, as much as the power and purpose of prayer is to ask God to move and act in us. So I don't know about you, but really, multiple times in my life, so often in my life, I have prayed prayers like this: God, change this. God, change that. God, change him. God, change her. God, do this. God, do that. God, go here. God, go there. However, the older I get, the longer that I walk with the Lord, the more I believe that it is not so much God that needs to go and do. It is not so often that God goes and does, but that God needs to go and do within my own heart and my own mind. So let me ask you this. When is the last time prayer changed you? When's the last time, Centerpoint, prayer changed your heart? Prayer changed your mind. Prayer changed your attitude. Prayer changed your behavior. Prayer changed your actions. Prayer changed your reactions. When is the last time prayer changed you? So here we are. We are on the morning of our very third annual Orphan Sunday. Orphan Sunday grows out of a great opportunity that I had several years ago as a gift from the Till family to me. They weren't able to be there, but they're members of the CAFO conference, the Christian Alliance for Orphans, and they weren't able to go several years ago, and so they reached out and they said, "Pastor, would you want to go?" And I said, I would. I don't know what I'm getting into. Probably somebody beat me over the head wanting me to adopt children, you know. But I went and I maintained an open mind, and truly that time changed my life, changed my perspective in so many ways, changed my prayer life along the way. And so today we come once again to call attention to the reality of orphaned children around our world. Here's where we start. We start in James Chapter 1, verse 27. It'll be there on the screen as George brings it up. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I have no doubt this morning that there are prayers that are prayed every day for God to change the reality of orphanhood around the world. I have no doubt that there are prayers that are prayed every day that in light of the orphan crisis, in light of the foster care crisis, in light of children that are fatherless and motherless in our world today, no doubt prayers that are prayed, God, will you change this reality? God, will you fix this reality? God, will you go to those children and make it right? And so I would even suggest to you that I can hear echoes of some of those prayers right now. Maybe you've prayed some of these prayers over the years. Lord, please help the 153 million orphaned and vulnerable children around the world. Lord, watch over them. Lord, provide for them. Lord, keep them safe. Give them families. Lord, find homes for the 800,000 kids that pass through our foster care system every year within the United States of America. Help those kids find families. Let more good people rise up and provide foster care. Open up new foster homes for them. Lord, bless the 18,000 kids in the foster care system in the state of Florida today. Bring families to the 3,500 children right now in Florida that are awaiting adoption. Bring out those good people, those families, those couples that you are calling to adopt, and help them to move and act on behalf of these children. God, give wisdom and guidance to the 1,000 kids this year that will turn 18 and age out of the foster system. Give them a job. Give them a friend. Help them find a family member. Help them to find the social services they need to bless them when the government sends them out of the door. Lord, will you help those 18-year-olds? I have no doubt that every day prayers just like those are prayed for God to change, to fix, to do something on behalf of these children. The center point: what if prayer was largely about God changing us and calling us to action rather than God acting in some distant way to address or fix or change some distant need over there? So on this Orphan Sunday, I want to talk to you briefly about prayer, and I want to talk to you about us, the church. You see, while there are currently estimated 3,500 children in the state of Florida right now awaiting adoption, there are over 17,000 churches in the state of Florida. I'll let you do the math on that one. So I want to pose a question to you today that we're going to swing back around to in just a few minutes. Center point, the question is very simple. If God wanted to open up your heart, your family, your home to adoption or foster care, would you let him? Center point. If God wanted to open up your heart, your family, your home to adoption or foster care, would you let him? Prayer has the power to change you. Prayer has the power to change your heart. Prayer has the power to change your mind and your attitude. Prayer has the power to change your behavior. If God wanted to change the life of a child by changing you, would you allow him? So I want us to consider this morning the unique reality of Christianity that we call the vertical movement and the horizontal movement. I thought about bringing up some cheesy, like object lesson kind of things this morning. I decided not to do that. The image is simply the cross. We see in the cross the vertical reality of the wood, and we see in the cross the horizontal reality of the wood. And in Christianity, when we talk about the vertical movement of God, we're talking about the fact that prior to humans ever moving in a horizontal way into another person's life, the love of God made its way vertically into our hearts and into our lives. And so if you look at the cross, and just for a few minutes, if instead of seeing it as a cross, seeing it as a vertical reality and a horizontal reality, it will help us open up our minds to this conversation. The uniqueness of the vertical movement of Christianity is simply this. The first response, the first movement, the first action never was us. It was always God. The first movement to humankind was always God coming to us. And Christianity's horizontal movement from person to person always comes after God's movement to us, in response to God's movement to us. Because God has moved vertically in our lives, we are able to move horizontally. I want to throw these three images out there to you. The first one is simply love. Center point, love moved from God to people before it ever moved from person to person. Love moved from God to people before love ever moved from person to person. But it's not enough to merely say that love moved vertically from God to man before it moved horizontally from man to man. Scripture teaches us that we love horizontally because love moved vertically. 1 John 14:9. We love because God first loved us. We don't love in hopes that God will love us. We love others because of God's love first coming to us. The second one is forgiveness. Just as love moved vertically in our lives through the reality of Jesus Christ, so forgiveness first moves vertically in our lives. Paul commanded the Ephesians toward this. He says, forgive one another, how? Just as God has forgiven you. How do we know the example of forgiveness? What do we know? How do we know what forgiveness looks like? Because we've witnessed and experienced the vertical reality of forgiveness of God in our lives, and therefore we then have the example of how we might horizontally go and forgive someone else when they have wronged us. So any forgiveness that we might ever extend to another is not out of our own goodness. It's in light of and as a response to God's forgiveness. The third one is simply this, it's welcome. In Romans 15, the Christians in Rome are commanded to welcome one another as Christ had already welcomed them. Again, a vertical movement that sets the tone for any horizontal movement. Because Christ has called us and has welcomed us first, we too are able to reach out of our own lives and into the hearts and lives of others through relationship and welcome them. God first loved us. Church, let us love one another. God first forgave us. Let us forgive one another. God first called and welcomed us. Let us welcome others. But you may say this morning, Dwayne, what does this have to do with adoption and foster care? Ephesians chapter 1, it'll be on the screen for you. Ephesians 1, 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. In his sight, in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. Check this out, Center Point. Adoption was in the mind of God long before it ever occurred to people that we should bring the fatherless and the motherless into our own families so that they too might have a family. Vertical adoption precedes all of human history. The fact that God looks upon us and brings us into his family as sons and daughters precedes all human history. Adoption existed vertically before it ever existed horizontally. Center point. People did not invent adoption. Adoption has always been in the heart and mind of God. And so therefore, I would think that we need to think critically about adoption and its horizontal reality. How are our views and our beliefs about horizontal adoption shaped by the scripture and shaped by the teachings on God's vertical adoption? How we think about and how we think about orphanhood and how we think about the idea of orphan children coming into families should not so much be influenced by the values of the world around us as the scripture and what the scripture teaches about the heart of the child and the family of God as we think about what God has already done for us through our own adoption. Adoption of orphan children should be informed by what God has already done to bring us into his household of faith. Through vertical adoption, we become children of God. But God acting on our behalf, by God acting on our behalf, he welcomes us into his family. By God acting on our behalf, we're no longer fatherless, motherless. By God acting on our behalf, we're able to experience not only the vertical reality of adoption, but we're able to open up our own hearts to any horizontal movement into the lives of the orphaned. So I asked you earlier this question. If God wanted to open up your heart, your family, your home, to adoption or foster care, would you let him? Center point, does God want to open up your heart, your home, your family? That would be a great prayer worth praying. Not to say that you arrive at an answer today. It's all God's timeline. But if he wanted to, would you? God has been doing this movement in the heart and life of one of our families here at Centerpoint. And so I'm going to ask Megan Blue to come up and just share briefly part of their story and the journey that she and Travis have been on for some time now in response to God's movement in their life. Put your hands together. Show your love for Megan Blue.
As all of you know, this is not my favorite thing to do. So just bear with me. About a year ago, God started telling me that he wasn't done with me yet in aspects of parenting. When I got married at 25, I immediately gained two girls. They were 11 and 13. And so that was very close in age. So we obviously had our struggles there. But then we had Reese. Age 5 now, and I'm now unable to have any more kids myself. I believe God knew what he was doing when he decided we weren't going to have any more kids ourselves, because I would have taken that easier route to go and have another kid myself if I was able to. So I prayed for a while just to make sure it wasn't my selfish want of me wanting to have another kid. So God still said, no, this is what I want you and Travis to do. And so I got to then be the crazy wife that had to go tell my husband, hey, we're supposed to have another kid, but we can't. And these are different ways that we can possibly do that. Of course, Travis thought I was crazy. Because he would have been fine without having Reese. He would have been perfectly fine. He was young and when he had to raise his two daughters, and he thought he was finished. Of course, now we love that we have Reese, and he loves that we have Reese, but it was just not what he thought. But do we ever think what God wants for us is what our thoughts are? So now, in a few months it took to work on Travis's heart to kind of come alongside me and understand, let's see what we can do. So we started talking to the Teals back in March a little bit, just to start gaining their perspective on adoption as they had already experienced it. And I was, of course, researching on private adoption versus adoption through foster care myself. And the Teals helped us kind of clarify and some things for Travis and I. Needless to say, Travis still was not 100% sold. We had multiple conversations at different times about what this could look like or if this is what we wanted to do. So we decided that if we were to adopt, we were going to probably be adopting through the foster care system. In order to adopt through the foster care system, you're required to take classes. So I said to Travis, hey, why don't we just go ahead and take these classes, and then if God closes doors, God closes doors. And he agreed to that. We, of course, brought the girls into this conversation of, what do you think about having another child around that may not be us, of us? And they were, of course, very excited. And they, of course, have very different preferences on what kind of child this may be, versus boy, girl, whatnot. So I said, let's just leave that in God's hands, and we will, you know, take it from there. So we started taking these classes back in September, and we have one more class to go. The first couple classes were very, very rough. They were just discouraging and not very fun to sit through. They're 3 hours long. So getting off of work and going straight to the classes and then hearing all of this stuff that you weren't expecting to hear, it was not fun for sure. But we later found out that this is kind of like the way they weed people out of the process. Like, you're not ready for this yet if you're not willing to hear all of this stuff. So as weeks has gone by, Travis has been opening up more to God's calling for us. So once we finish these classes, we still have a while to go. We're not going to just get out of these classes and the child show up at our door. This is going to just take a lot more of God working and whatnot, because we're trying to do straight adoption. We're not going through the foster care and fostering kids ourselves. So we have to have a home study of somebody coming out to our home, seeing our house, talking to us, and then they will eventually match us with our forever child. I just ask that as a church family that you just come alongside of us and pray with us through this, because God is working and will continue to work through this, because we're really looking for a child that is 0 to 5 due to Reese being 5. We just would prefer somebody younger than her. So thank you very much.
I wanted you to be able to see the number of families in our community who have been through this journey. Because if perhaps God would open up your own heart and mind, it could be that the next step there is to simply do what Travis and Megan have been able to do, which is sit across the table from one of these families and have conversation about the process and continue to pray. So there's no pressure today, Center Point. There's not a table out in the plaza with faces on it or anything like that. It's simply this question, Lord, are you doing anything new in our hearts related to these issues? God, would you speak anything new, anything fresh into our hearts related to children, orphan children, the foster care system? So that's where we are today. An invitation to a prayer. If you're here today and you would say, you know what, Dwayne, I've prayed the prayer. The answer is no. God's not doing anything new in my heart. There's another element to that verse in James 1:27. The scripture says, take care of the fatherless and the widow. Very specifically to those who had but lost relationally. Center Point, there's a gap for you to stand in somewhere, in some way, for someone. Lord, open up our hearts to the movement of your Spirit to do something new in us. Amen.